listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to Pirate Hill Hardcore Asian. How's it baby?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt, I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose, I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers, I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers, come one, come all, because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Yes, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V, and, well, we have, I want to apologize for last week. My router burned out, and so I just wasn't able to make it onto the show. But I got a brand new one. And we got a good episode for you. I have my co-host here with me. I've got Bill the Butcher.
Amazingly.
And I've got Will Turbitt here as well.
Glad you're back from the attacks from all the wizards and warlocks, so I'm excited for this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, we go through routers.
Getting angry messages off from random strangers. Like, what are you doing to V?
Hey, Will, man. I'm gonna butt in here. I know it's not impromptu. I shouldn't do this, but man, I am so blown away by you blowing away Alex Jones. I mean, really, it ain't sex, but it's damn close, man. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Alex Jones is somebody that helped wake me up along with a lot of others, and I just wanted to make, now he's all a Trump tard and all this other stuff, and he used to expose a two-party paradigm, and now he's just kind of joining it, so I just wanted to kind of call him out on that, but I appreciate that, yeah, but I'm excited to hear from our guest today, too. Thank you, Bill.
Well, actually, yeah, let's go ahead and get with our guest here. We have Matt here. Matt Ward, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. So, I do believe that you are a targeted individual of some kind?
You could say that. I believe that the programs at this point in my life have moved into the targeted individual aspect.
Okay, well, go ahead and start from the beginning. Tell us who you are, what you've been through, and why you're on the show.
Certainly. My name is Curtis Matthew Ward. I go by my middle name, Matt. Family's always called me that, and I like it. So I'm really nobody and I guess kind of somebody to certain people all at the same time. So that's what makes it important in these programs for a lot of people is the fact that, you know, we're really nobody. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of family. We don't have ties that can really lift us up out of this, you know, grip of torture. So my great-grandfather on my mother's side was very high up in the Freemasons. They called them Grottos. And then my grandfathers on both sides of my parents were also in Freemasonry. My grandfather on my dad's side was high up in the Navy. Went through a couple of wars. He was at the top levels of Freemasonry and eventually moved. Most people think 33 degrees is as high as you can go, but it's not. He eventually moved into some of the higher sects and eventually was initiated into the Illuminati, and as most people know, that's, you know, a bunch of gangs and witchcraft, basically psychological tricks and energy weapons, mixed with drugs, ancient rituals, lots of torture. So The grandfather on my mother's side was a grand wizard in the KKK, which I'm not proud of at all. So, but both sides of those family, their brains just don't function like most other people, you know, like normal people, that most normal people wouldn't be able to understand what kind of people they are and how they operate.
Like sociopaths, psychopaths, the sort of thing?
You know, they have those tendencies because all of that is tortured out of them. You know, any type of normal moral behavior or thought or emotion or attachment, all of that, it was almost done to me as well. However, I found out that this was what was happening, thankfully. But yeah, there's not.
I'm sorry, but
there's not a lot.
Elaborate on that. Mm-hmm. Did you say tortured out of them? And can you elaborate on that? Did you say it was maybe done to you? Can you elaborate?
Sure. There's not enough time really to tell my entire story. At birth, I was dissociated through trauma. My mother told me the story that she was in labor 6 to 7 hours before she got to the hospital. I had only moved once in the entire pregnancy, and that was toward the second trimester, so I was already considered a high-risk labor. When they reached the hospital, the nurses wanted to give her some pain medicine. My mother can tell the story a lot better than I can, but the doctor came in several times over a 24-hour period. And, you know, my mother was in excruciating pain because of, you know, I wasn't moving. I wasn't helping. There was, I can't remember what all it was, but it was horrific. As a matter of fact, someone told her that she should have sued them. But, you know, we didn't have the money for that. They were poor. But anyway, so after 33 hours of labor, I was born. And they immediately took me away from my mother. And lifelined me to a different hospital where they put me on life support. And, over the next year of that, they drew so much blood that they had to cut my feet and things like that. So, but you know, they've found that, one of the best ways to dissociate someone is to start at birth. So, and this is, I'm at least third generation, possibly fourth because of my great-grandfather, but I'm not sure about him. So that was at 1 year old, there was a car wreck. They burned our house down. All those things are normally staged for targeted individuals. And, you know, I would say that, you know, some people that they've asked, I've told this story, a lot of people asked, what if it's just normal, like that, but you know, things happen to people and this and that, what have you. It could have just been coincidence, but I've had 60 homes in my life and I've been homeless 3 times, and there's been tremendous amounts of torture on both sides of my family. So at age 3, I was put in a germ-free tent where they not only gave me oxygen but took it away, where I would pass out. It happened again at 4. At 5, I was sexually molested, and there was a younger girl involved as well. At 6, we moved again, and at that point, I had started clacking my teeth and had all kinds of nervous problems. I was molested at 7 as well. And then, So 6 and then 7, that's why I was molested. At 8, Dr. French, and I probably shouldn't give names yet because I'm not sure of all the legalities yet, but there was a doctor in Indiana that gave me medication that poisoned me to the point that we went swimming and I got E. coli and parasites at the same time, ended up in Riley Children's Raleigh Memorial Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. And my doctor's name, his nickname was G.I. Joe. I remember it graphically. They put scopes everywhere, and they were looking for cancer as well because I had started vomiting. Of course, my father abused me a lot because I was sick when I was 8 and couldn't stand weakness. So I'm 8 years old. I'm in the hospital. So at this point, I had thrown up so much and couldn't eat, literally couldn't hold anything down. I would eat one bite of something, it would come back up. I got stood in the corner for hours for being weak, and it'd strip me down, make me scrub the floor, this stuff. But anyway, so I ended up in the hospital from being poisoned, which, again, could have been an incident. However, I am on remote neural monitoring, and so I was in there for a very long time. I weighed 38 pounds when I was 9 years old, and I was still in the hospital. Lost 6 roommates. They all had passed away from cancer or AIDS. They're all about my age. And the surgery that they did to feed me through the main vein of my heart, they held me down on a table, and there was a towel underneath my head, and my face was exposed, but they couldn't give me any pain medicine because they were, at that point, I was so weak that they were afraid I wouldn't wake up. So they took a long rod and just, you know, put holes in my chest, and they put the first one in and pulled it back out, blood splattered all over my face. So they took a towel and put it over my face and held it over me, and I was smothering. And they kept doing it and, you know, putting rods in my chest, feeding the tubes in my chest until I passed out. And I woke up in the bed, and I had 6 tubes in my chest and a PICC line through my heart directly after that because they couldn't get any more blood out of me through my veins. So I got, I was losing up to 5 pounds a night then, and the doctors said that if I lost any more weight, that I would pass in the night, that it was impossible. Well, there was a doctor that came, a nurse that came in the middle of the night while I was asleep, and I told it in a dream form when I was younger, so the church that we went to thought it was a miracle. I saw angels and whatever, but I remember it clearly now. It was a nurse that came in and gave me medicine that, you know, by the next morning I was completely fixed. I had started gaining weight, and I ate a cheeseburger and held down food for the first time. So, you know, they took me all the way to the point of death and then gave me what I needed to fix me after, you know, parasites coming out of me in bathtubs and balls of, you know, giant worms and, you know, like, E. coli poisoning and cancer.
Hold on a second.
So
let me ask you, so why do you think that you were targeted? You mentioned your family not liking you for perhaps being weaker, a weak member of the family, and maybe they just want to...
That was my dad. My dad was always big on... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So my dad was, you know, he was always big on... He was in the Navy as well. My mother was 101st Airborne. This was back, you know, during Vietnam. I believe that, you know, from their stories and pictures that I've seen with the squinty eye effect from trauma, a lot of people that have been through these programs have, like, you'll notice that one squinted eye. I've got a couple pictures with it myself going on. But I feel like because of them being targeted as well, they didn't think like most other people. And my father, of course, you know, he was extreme alpha male. As a matter of fact, you know, he's eligible for parole in 2063 for things that he's done. He's, you know, off the wall. But went in the Navy, had scholarship, threw his shoulder out. He was going to be a pitcher, I guess, in the MLB. But instead threw his shoulder out, went to the Navy, owned his own construction company, and then after that he went into corrections. And he was in the Department of Corrections for 8 years. He was on the SWAT team. He was a sniper. And I don't know, he picked me a lot to tell me. I guess I was his counselor when I was a kid. I was little, and he's telling me all these horrific stories about files that he'd read about people. But, you know, that's just the way that he thought. He was a sociopath, a psychopath, and now he's a sex offender. So just a very aggressive, hurtful person. So he didn't like any part of weakness in me, and I feel, you know, not to be a counselor or anything, but it was his inferiority complex for all the torture that he had been through. But yeah, they gave me the medicine that I had needed. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. So you're making recovery. Yes, go ahead.
So yeah, you know, they gave me the medicine, and the next day they paraded me around the hospital like I was a miracle. You know, it's some port and death torture, which I've received several times. So that was 9 years old, and all of that. So 10, 11, then we moved again. This is, you know, during that time, CPS had been called on our family. They came and investigated several times. Nobody ever did anything about what was going on in our home. Nobody ever told, you know. So at 11, we moved back to West Virginia, and where I was born. Which I can't get my records from. Of course, I can't get any of my records from childhood so far. So moved back to West Virginia, and, you know, it was really terrible. Because, I mean, even the schools out in Indiana when I was younger, I'm missing some things. Like, I don't want to go completely into detail because it's a whole lifetime. But, you know, even the schools in Indiana, like, it was, I think, 17 degrees or something like that outside, and there's a blizzard, and I'm not sure why they had kids outside and it was snowing or whatever, but they, I wasn't paying attention. You know, there's some air quotes you can't see there, but I had already been through this horrific, you know, spell with trying to gain back to 70 pounds after being deathly sick, and then because I can't pay attention, they put me up against a freezing cold brick wall because I wasn't listening to the teacher, and I had to stand there and time out up against a freezing brick wall, not able to move in the freaking snow. It was constant when I was a kid. Like, every school that I went to, they were they were just stupid to me. But
like you've had it pretty rough there.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, like, why would they do that? So my mother was a teacher as well, so she has 5 different degrees. She's extremely intelligent, both sides of our family. My father, he didn't even have to, he'd, like, read a book once and then take the test and pass his college classes. It's just insane. And then he would, you know, information dump and then go on to something else. But my mother retains everything. So it was just 2 sides of that coin. But, you know, they were both working in state and federal entities, which is how I got targeted when I was 17, and tremendously by a lady that worked for the governor's cabinet. So I'm 12, and I'm living in West Virginia at that time, and I was in the 4th grade, I think, when I was 11. So they thought I was handicapped because I wouldn't do my homework. And I was sent to do a cumulative IQ exam. And it was only supposed to take 15 minutes, so they could put me in special education classes. Well, it ended up taking over 8.5 hours, and I tested at freshman college level. So after that, they wanted to send me to college, but my parents were super religious, and that was not the atmosphere that God wants children to be in. So anyway, I didn't get to do that. But then I was homeschooled for a couple of years after that, and that was terrible. So, 13, I started having seizures, and passing out. Well, they said it was syncope, and I got put on tilt tables, and they would tilt me back and forth, and I would pass out and have seizures, what have you. So they put me on these EEGs and EKGs. That's when I started getting tinnitus in my ears with the ringing. So I was 13 when that happened. And then we moved to Ohio, to Glen Ferris Falls and Golly Bridge. I was harassed a lot by the kids and the staff at Golly Bridge Golly Bridge Middle School. And then moved from Glen Ferris, where he was working at Mount Olive Correctional Facility, which, I mean, may have had something to do with it because he was a prison guard and a lot of those people's family were from there. So I don't know. But the police also harassed our family as well, so it wasn't just that. So at 13, we moved to Ohio, and I started getting harassed again, you know, like severely. Like, these kids always picked on me, and the teachers were just, they were rude, they were mean. I would get in trouble for not being able to pay attention, this and that. But, you know, the entire time, well, like, it's hard to pay attention when you have people psychologically beating you all day.
Well, yeah. When you are the black sheep, these things happen. So, I mean, when you're the kid that's sort of weird, you got to get picked on. And you have that sort of appeal to others. It's not just, you know, the kids. You know, often someone who's bullied by kids often feel like they're bullied by, you know, parents, authority figures, etc.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, like I said, people actually pick up on that and they will sort of engage in that behavior based on the vibes that you're putting out. So do you think that this could be something mostly
something that you could have avoided? Some of it possibly, but no, it was very apparent that I had been singled out for some reason, like it is now. You know, it's very apparent that I'm singled out for some reason. When you have people all over, I have people all over the state of North Carolina that respond to my thoughts with hand signals. And this is directly after the organized stalking, which I came very close to exposing because I started recording people everywhere I went with my phone, and they stopped doing the verbal stalking when I started recording. But now they do it with hand signals, and they, you know, they bright light me and follow me all over the place. And so it's at work, which at work I'm surrounded by the Knights Templar. They even write certain things. Like circuit is CKT, which is, you know, C Knights Templar, or 322. If you look in the way, if you would take binary and translate it to hexadecimal, they do the same things with letters and numbers and code, and it's all off of Masonic based numerology and gematria and symbolism. Well, I have that all day at work. Not only do I have to see it at work, but you know, it's on almost every serial number, every business phone number. It's in license plates. You know, you can, I decode license plates with the Pythagorean theory, like forms of math. You take it down to least common denominator, you put it together, and then it, you know, it's so you know, that's some sort of form of shamanism, I guess. The from what I understand, the CIA has taken all forms of mind control out of all forms of religion and applied it to this system. So I guess that's the shaman part of that through the numerology.
Well, your story kind of reminds me of that Jim Carrey movie. Help me out here, guys. What was
the
it?
Truman Show.
23?
Okay,
no, 23. Yeah. he kept seeing patterns and the numbers and trying to figure out what the numbers were. And all that.
Right.
I've never come across anything like that. I mean, I've studied the numerology stuff. I've looked at all that stuff, but I have never picked up anything like that around me, not patterns. So do you think this is put at you, or you just happen to be very sensitive to these things that not everybody else is?
Oh, no, it's extremely intentional. These people, they slow me down sometimes, because sometimes I get triggered, I want to drive fast, get upset. But, and they come in for, so like, let's say I'm thinking of a specific number, and I guess that's one of my forms of coping, is I've went into the numerology to study it out as well, and now they're playing games with their license plates on my remote neural monitoring. I mean, these people, they are literally listening to every thought that I have. And, if I call the organized crime units, I could call the FBI, and they all ask me if I need medication, if I'm schizophrenic. No, I'm not. I'm extremely intelligent, and I'm being targeted now because I was used in several human experimentations, along with as in the military, when they gave me LSD, and I tripped for 2 straight days. Pardon me. And they ran science on me and had
LSD?
Yes, absolutely. I had 18 drops of liquid LSD put in my mouth at Fort Gordon, Georgia. I was isolated.
Wow.
This is after Fort Benning. At Fort Benning in basic training, I was selected as the platoon guide for 4th Platoon at Echo 247 at Sand Hill. And then I was handpicked for the Rangers by a Ranger recruiter because my PT score was above perfect. My ASVAB score was almost perfect. And, I guess they had already known that, they had already known that I was used in several experiments, when I was younger, which I haven't really gotten into all that, but it's a whole thing. I was handpicked for the Rangers at Fort Benning, and then I was asked to volunteer for an experimental, what we were told was a nasal flu vaccine. So I took the nasal flu vaccine. I thought I was the 63rd person to ever take it. Pardon me. Gotta love it. Then we went out on a field op, went down, the highway to hell, and was doing the whole field thing, the last red, white, blue phase. So I was coming out, getting ready to graduate, and I had excelled flying colors on everything. We were also told we were an experimental platoon. There were a few people there with mental disorders, and I guess I was a handler in that platoon. So I went down and we got cold, dug in that night, our foxhole, and got up the next day, packed everything up, and started to march, and I felt like somebody had stabbed me under the right rib cage, and I really couldn't walk, and I'm just not that type of person, I don't have that trigger, that sensor that most people have that says quit. So I told the drill sergeant, there's something wrong with me. He said, he's telling me to go back to march. And, I honestly physically could not go on. I was still walking, but I knew something was wrong. Like, everything in me would say, hey, this is bad. Something's wrong. So they had to take me to the hospital. And once they tested me, they sent me to quarantine immediately. And I still don't know what I had.
Okay, listen, we're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be right back. Right. Okay, so just hang tight.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Okay, we are back from commercial break. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm Joseph B. And we have a guest here with us, Matt Ward. Now, you are a target individual. You've been targeted in ways since birth. A lot of us actually are targeted from birth. Others, not so much. But you have actually said some things that ring a bell with me. I do know that the military does run mind control programs continuously. MKUltra is alive and well, and it is constantly being used on soldiers, troops, with them unknowing. So, absolutely, this is still going on, and they definitely Project Artichoke you.
Yes, I would say so, along with several others. Yeah.
Okay, so how'd you get out? Did you finish your term, or what'd you do?
No. Actually, no. I was targeted so hard in the military. Not only was I targeted while I was in the military, but my family was targeted as well. I actually went into the military because we were evicted from government housing. I was told that I wouldn't have any bills, and then they told me I had a bill, and then by the time I got the bill, I was evicted. It was, you know, I didn't even have the chance. I was homeless with a wife and three kids, and then, anyway, long story short, I ended up joining the military and arrived at Fort Benning actually on 9/11 of 2007. So after, you know, the whole quarantine thing, I got to Fort Gordon, and I was still sick, but I had graduated top of my class, and being sick was the only thing that kept me from getting soldier of the cycle, is what I was told by my head drill sergeant. So when I got to Fort Gordon for AIT as a 25 uniform, a signal support system specialist, I got to Charlie Rock 369. And, you know, they kept me isolated the whole time. They kept me at phase four the entire time I was there. I didn't get to bump up at all. So while everybody else was going out and doing whatever, I was in the barracks, being marched back and forth from chow with no rights, couldn't even stand outside and smoke. I had nothing. And then, you know, they kept me in these rooms with people who were, you know, one room was full of gang members. I guess they cut the cake there, but they have certain rooms with certain individuals there. I guess they pair people up or whatever for the rooms that their stay. I don't know. But whatever it was, I know the room that I was in was full of gang members. The little gang signs, they'd stay up till 12 o'clock, sneak alcohol in and drugs. So I complained about that, and they moved me across the hall into a room with a bunch of all white guys. And, you know, they were in there doing triple chlorosedins and all kinds of stuff. So that's when all of that happened. But I had already been to medical at that point because, you know, I had heard from home that our bills were going downhill. And see, my wife at the time had Fragile X syndrome, and her father, my ex-father-in-law, was always calling DSS on us, trying to get our kids taken. Matter of fact, the day we got married, he drove up because she had to hide it from him that we got married, and he drove up and threatened to whoop her with a belt and try to put her in the car, and he was terrible for 10 years, constantly trying to ruin somebody. But, you know, while I was in there, he had moved in, and she's extremely easily manipulated. She has Fragile X syndrome. So, you know, he had her actually go and live with him with my three boys that were in diapers at the time. All our bills ended up bad. It was just dumb. But and then on top of being isolated and then the quarantine and being sick and the sleep deprivation, people staying up, and the drugs, and the irritation, and the doublespeak, like they've used this doublespeak about me just to let me know that they know everything that I do, even like I can't even go to the bathroom without thinking something, and people doublespeak. You know, it's like I can't just come out to you in public and say, hey, I'm watching you, and I have you on remote neural monitoring, and this is what you do in your spare time. So they doublespeak it. You know, like I go out to eat or with my family, and they'll talk as loud as they can just to make sure that, you know, they're irritating me and they're talking loud enough to let me know. You know, I've been conditioned to it at this point. So they're just letting me know they're sitting there, and they're there to irritate the crap out of me while I'm trying to eat with my family. Well, they've done that, you know, even since then. And this is after... I can't prove this, but I'm pretty sure I have an implant in my tooth that they did with my dental work at Fort Gordon as well. This is a giant implant.
So you are getting remote neural monitoring and synthetic telepathy as well?
Oh, yeah. a lot in the car. So I'm talking about all over the state.
So what is the main psyop here? Because when somebody's being harassed with this synthetic telepathy, this audio harassment, they usually have something that they want from you. They'll bug you to do something. You know, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, or we don't want you to do that. We want you to do this and this. Are they doing that to you?
I have been used for several things. I've had so the three relationships after my first wife, they were all handler. Whatever terminology people are given names for, or wherever that came from. But they were definitely, they practiced witchcraft. They had the 333 tattoos and the monarch butterfly tattoos and just all kinds of these. And they were completely associated with the Veterans Affairs and motorcycle gangs. They all three had, these are my last three serious relationships until now. All three had tattoos on the back of their neck like they were branded. Tricara and Angel Wings and a sun, and had like Cocopelli sun god tattoos and like the sigils. And I ended up getting tattooed, like what was going to be my future stepkid give me a tattoo, and it ends up being a sigil. Like when you look at it one way, it says family. When you turn it upside down, it says high rune. And I had to look up what that even means. So what they were doing was they had me on remote neural monitoring the entire time. I didn't know it. So people were putting drugs in my food, and I know it because I felt it when it happened. They were irritating, constant fighting, constant turmoil, drug use in the house. I'd get that out. It's just, I'm talking about like one torturous thing after another with this just intentional irritation. And they would ask me to do things for them, or, you know, like if I would do home invasions and hurt people for them. And, you know, I'm like, no, it's the, you know, no, I have degrees in several arts, and I'm a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've won both of my cage fights in amateur MMA, and I trained people for over a decade before I even fought. I didn't even want to fight. So, but they were like, you know, why train and not take the test? So, you know, whatever. So I had two fights back-to-back, and I won them both by submission. Clinched my jaw and let them hit me, and then come in to rush me when they thought they had me, and I'd turn upside down and do some jiu-jitsu, you know, monkey loving on them, so, and win. So, but, you know, that what I'm saying is I'm passive. I would rather somebody hit me and me be able to control them without hitting them back. Well, these people were constantly not just physically hitting me, but psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, drugs, when they text me, I looked at some of the records on my phone. When they were texting me on 33s and 13s and 11s. So when I'm looking at this and reading these messages and taking pictures next to the Shell Corporation, or, you know, next to a roller coaster or whatever it is, they're communicating with their other people through me, through my remote neural monitoring. You know, with numerology, I guess they have these codes, and, you know, like if they, you go to the Humane Society, and the next thing you know, I recognize that one of my soon-to-be ex-father-in-law, he's talking about, you know, a foster is for life. So they have this code speech, and it's very dark, it's very low-key, and you can't prove it. There's no way to prove it without being sued, honestly. Which is why I'm afraid to really give names, and but they do. They communicated about me through my remote neural monitoring, through numerology, through pictures, and insinuating things. It's a language that's just understood by them because they do this to people all the time, so much and so often. So, you know, like...
Okay, so how long has this been going on, by the way? How old are you now, and what... Give us a time frame here.
I'm 35. I just realized last December And this is after I split up with my wife. She asked me to leave. People at work had been accessing my programming. I didn't know that then. Obviously, I didn't know anything was going on until a year ago when I started being organized stalked. When people were intentionally making it obvious that, you know, they were doing the hand signals, and that I could, like, I went to a jiu-jitsu tournament and the referees were doing left and right, and which is yes and no. Well, it'd be, I said left and right, so it'd be no and yes. you know, doing the one eye thing, scratching her eye, pointing this way and that way, and letting me know that the people on the mats needed me to coach for them. So that was kind of my first real introduction to the fact that I was on remote neural monitoring. And this was just last year at the Ranger Up competition. So, you know, and I'm telling these guys, you know, watch out, keep your elbow in. Through my brain. So I didn't know how it was happening. Was witchcraft real? You know, like, was I born a wizard? Am I actually psychic and can, like, put things? No, that's not what was happening. They have several people connected to my remote neural monitoring, and I'm somehow supposed to be raising their consciousness, making them better people, helping them think correctly, you know, helping them reprogram and rewire their brains and their minds. Because I play these games with these people, but I have to. I guess I could just, but if I try to ignore them, you know, then I get harassed through the Social Security Administration. And, like, I'll turn in my wages for months, and then they say I didn't. And then now I owe them, like, $3,000 for something that was their fault. But this is all the time. The law enforcement, just, you know, when I go into court, the courtrooms, if I look at somebody, you know, the bailiff was turned around to the other side of the wall talking to somebody else, and the guy walks up with his hands in his pockets, and I'm like, well, that's disrespectful. He turns around and immediately says, get your hands out of your pockets, without looking, okay? I mean, come on. Like, these things are obvious. And while I'm thinking in a courtroom, waiting for my speeding ticket to be paid for, they're you know, like I was thinking about one of the bailiffs being a guard dog. I'm not trying to be funny, but, you know, I was envisioning him as a German shepherd moving the little cattle around through the courtroom because we were all lined up on the walls in line waiting to go up to the desk. It was weird. And he's like, yeah, okay, keep moving. That's what we do here. We move people. So they respond to let me know that, yes, I hear you. And but it's not like a lot of people say, you know, like they're being tortured and harassed. I had all the torture and harassment before now, and it was horrific even finding out through organized stalking and, you know, the touchless torture and the double speak. It was terrible finding out about it, but now I've got some sort of callus to that, and I'm being used, like, even at work. If I think something needs to get done, they do it. So it's like I'm literally what the sigil on my arm says. I'm a high rune in some sort of occult family that I didn't choose to be in. I didn't choose to get tortured and be in human experimentation, you know? Like, that's not since I was born and dissociate to I was used. I have been used with my remote neural monitoring to infiltrate organized crime groups unwittingly. So I would be set up for job prospects and people who could do things and get me money. And this was by people in my life. Even at work, I'm set with people who are, you know, I read people. Completely. I read everything, like their notions, they lean on the left, is one shoulder crooked or higher than the other, and you got a chiropractor. I see energy. A lot of people don't believe in Reiki or what have you, but the body is extremely electrical. That's how remote neural monitoring works. But I can see people's energy as well, just like a fume or gas vapors on a hot day coming off the pavement. It's that's what it looks like. But I read people. And they see that through my remote neural monitoring. And I'm also, you know, capable of controlling myself and not hurting people but still controlling them because of my martial arts background. So I'm set with very bad people, a lot of ex-convicts, felons, and this is on a regular basis. They even put me with hackers and hacktivists, and they want me to read these people and find out what makes them tick. Well, I can't help but do that because it's just part of what I do, where I've had to constantly struggle and survive. I look at people and I'm always distrusting. I don't trust anybody. I can't. So, but I'm very good at reading people and surviving, you know, at all costs. So I was used also between the border, Mexico, and going back and forth between the West Coast and the East Coast, and my testimony accounted for 72 days, I believe, of 72, 73 days. Anyway, of exact memory, what I did that day, what we did that day, passwords to people's, just, I mean, the whole minute by minute, movement by movement, and it took down a very large DTO, drug trafficking organization. I also know, you know, several things about inside Winston-Salem, which I believe got me messed up because I was looking into front buildings that, you know, like have a giant eye on the front, the bronze building, number one in Clemens, North Carolina. Look at it. I mean, I'm not going to insinuate. I'm just going to say, look at it yourself. All right. You can look at it, Google Earth. It has a giant eye on the front, you know, TT for whatever. And then it has moonstone therapy with all this witchcraft insinuation. And it also has a community insurance agency, you know, acronym CIA. Just the whole thing, Kings and just all this stuff all over the front building. And then, you know, the next thing I know, I can't even go to flag football without people doing their doublespeak, and it's just ridiculous having me do things like stand there and stare, videoing my child with my phone, and if I even twitched a muscle, they would call a flag, you know, and my son would be removed from the field so he couldn't play. Just everywhere I go, at with the school system, Department of Social Services, as long as I'm doing good for them or whatever, you know, like everything goes well. Like I get fast-tracked through everything. Police even respond to my commands. It's intense. I don't know what's going on completely. And I also try not to, this is a terrible thing that they're doing to people. So I don't want to get some kind of big head about the fact that I could control this massive army with my brain and raise the consciousness of humanity and so on and so forth and clean up the world, make it a better place because, well, you know.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think that this could be just implanted psyop just to have you believe these things?
Oh, no, it's happening. Yeah, this is definitely happening. To believe that I can do that, well, that's what they're doing. Now, why they're doing it, that's what I say. Yes. You know, it's all street theater, so I don't want to believe that's what's happening. Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely staged. Yeah, so I'm not falling into any of that. I'm not. You know, it's never going to, you can't, I'm not going to be bought with that. Is what I'm saying, you know, but that's what they're doing. It's definitely a psyop. All of it's a psyop, you know. That's their way of trying to initiate me into what they're doing. They want me to be okay with it. They want me to feel like I'm some kind of leader, but pimps do the same thing to girls that are brand new. And 6 months in, they think they're like the number one girl, and next thing you know, they're sitting in the back seat, and the real number one girl hops up front. I'm not that girl, you know. That's not me.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah,
well,
definitely.
My co-hosts have been very quiet during the show, I guess because your story is so incredible. I do want to give you the next couple of minutes here because we are coming down to the end of the show. What is it? Okay, you've gone through all of this. So what is your message to the country, to our listeners? What is the message here? And what advice are you going to offer them first for the people going through your situation?
Sure. I can understand on the side of the... Well, I'm going to speak to both sides of this, okay? Because this is definitely a fight. Both sides of this. I can understand on one side that occultists and whoever else, they want the world to be a better place. That's fine. I can see that. I know there are bad parts of it and people that go into all the darkness of it and they want to practice black magic and but for those who are at the lower end of it and just honestly believe that they're superheroes and that they're hurting bad people, I assure you, you don't know what you're doing. Okay, these are, I'm not a bad person. I have been manipulated to do bad things, but I am not a bad person. Especially over the last year, it has given me such a peace of mind knowing that this is what has happened to me. So, you know, if you're in the occult and or you're in on this remote neural monitoring or someone approaches you to gang stalk people, there are bad people out there, but they still don't deserve this. That's what law enforcement's job is. That's what they're supposed to be there to do. If somebody's bad and they do bad things, they're supposed to be punished, investigated and punished and found guilty or not. That's why we have a judicial system. We do not need a bunch of vigilantes running around hurting people and pretending that they're witches and warlocks. You're not powerful. It's not magic. You're delusional. On the other side of the fence, you are not delusional. If you are experiencing remote neural monitoring, you're experiencing V2K. If you're being targeted by the school system, pharmaceuticals, psychologists, psychiatrists, healthcare, of course, Department of Social Services, by law enforcement, or by, you know, I've also, everybody has attacked me. Street gangs, motorcycle clubs, Freemason Society, all of that, right? So the KKK, everybody who is attacking you, they don't know the full truth about you either. And you just need to understand that this is real. This is a huge psychological operation. And they are hurting people. But if you go off and you do something crazy, you're doing exactly what they want you to do. So don't do that. Don't go to the police department and tell them that this is what's happening because I've tried it myself. They will not listen to you because they're helping with this, okay? And I know that this is going to get me in trouble, a lot of trouble. If I told the entire story, I'd get myself in trouble because of how they manipulate people. But you're okay. You have to be calm and be
okay,
smart.
Well,
this is real.
Great, great information, great advice, and I want to thank you for coming on to the show. We have run out of time. Thank you for telling your story. Seriously, you've soloed our entire show almost. But anyways, guys, this has been the Red Pill Hardcore, and remember, in the land of surveillance, man with the third eye is king, so educate yourselves.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.